Welcome to the Two Girls True Crime Podcast.
This is Katie.
And this is Courtney.
Just two girls talking murder, true crime, lore, and other phenomena.
Today, we are discussing the Ryan, is it Poston?
Poston. Ryan Poston
Bad case. Blood from 2020. You want to start or you want me to?
Okay, we need to figure this out. I'll start
because I know this one's pretty good. Yeah.
So Ryan Poston was a really came from a very wealthy family in Kentucky. Okay. And he was a lawyer. He had just bought his own firm. And he had this girlfriend named Shayna, and they were introduced from a friend of his from college, and the feeling was mutual. They fell for each other. He wasn't so much into the relationship as much as she was, but she was pretty narcissistic, like to post selfies online and all the time. And then, of course, it started becoming pictures of her and Ryan showing him off. And let me tell you, this Ryan, he's a very good-looking man, and you know, he had a couple of girls lined up, and one night they went to dinner with his family at his family's house. They're very wealthy. So of course, I'm sure it was
steak and asparagus.
Oh, I'm sure it was a six-course meal. Yeah. That's what they found in his stomach, right?
I don't know. No, that was the night before though.
And so, apparently that night Ryan had a talk with his stepdad and said, look, you know, I really don't want to be with this girl anymore. And I don't have feelings for her. And he gave him some advice and you know, he was going to break up with her that night. And the next night he had a date lined up with, the last Miss Ohio. And so Miss Ohio, I apparently went to this bar to wait for him that night. Ryan tried to break up with Shayna, and he ends up shot in the face, and Miss Ohio waits at the bar, and he never shows.
Thinking she's getting stood up, and they were supposed to meet at his house first, and then the plans changed.
Well, thank God.
For her, thankfully, unfortunately not for Ryan, because she would have been killed.
Oh, you know, that Shayna would have went ballistic. Shayna was obsessed.
Obsessed
with Ryan. I mean, let's talk about 50,000 pages of text messages they had to go through and 20,000 messages on Facebook. And they said the ratio of them talk of email sent was 50 to 1. So you can imagine, at one point she had texted him 75 times because he was probably, what do you think, with a client or something and couldn't get to the phone?
Yeah, he was just busy.
Busy. And she texted him 75 times. I mean, so this kind of tells you the level of obsessiveness that she... I mean, this is like...
That's out of control.
Out of control.
Stalker.
Right.
She was a stalker.
She went through his phone. They even mentioned...
Yeah, he caught her.
You know, he caught her doing that. And so what had happened was she... called the cops, right?
Mm-hmm. After she killed him.
After she killed him.
6 shots to the face.
Yep.
Then she, when she was in the interrogation room, she asked for a lawyer so they didn't interrogate her. But she was just spilling everything, spilling the beans, singing, dancing,
laughing,
saying that she did it.
Laughing.
Said that a few weeks before that happened that he said he wanted to get a nose job, so she gave him the nose job he wanted. And it's just out of control. And they said that he was alive for all 6 of those shots.
I can't even.
All 6 of them he lived through.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, all 6 shots were to his face.
Yeah, I believe so.
The story is that he was playing with the gun at the table while he was breaking up with her. Told her he was meeting Miss Ohio for a drink.
He said that?
Yes. Oh, wow. That's what I guess flipped her out. And so she lost it, went ballistic, and apparently, you know, she says, claiming her self-defense, that she went to go grab, he went to go grab the gun to shoot her, and she grabbed it first and shot him so that he couldn't hurt her. And a fight ensued.
And that he threw her across the room to the couch with no bruises on her. Right.
But if you look at, okay, so then you look at the, on the 2020 documentary, it shows that he never gets up from his seat. He is still sitting in the seat when he is shot. I think he may have slipped out and fell over, but
he was on the ground.
He was not in the middle of the room, so no fight ensued. She picked that gun up, and that's my personal opinion, and she shot him in the face because he was going to leave her, and she was literally obsessed with him. Well,
she had said something to her friend, a week or two before?
Yep.
When they were going to go shooting, and that she was going to pretend that she accidentally shot him at the shooting range.
And it was an act. Yeah, exactly. So she had premeditated.
And then only to get 40 years. Right. 40 years. She was 21. He was 29.
Yeah. And you know what I think's interesting is her friends compared him to Edward from
Twilight.
They said, oh, we have the same mannerism. Body. And the same, protective. The same body, so protective. And, I mean, and everyone just talks him up like he was this girl. I mean, he sounded like he was a really great guy. And
yeah, nice.
He stuck with her, they said, his family says, for at least a year of him not wanting to be dating her anymore. So he tried to break up with her for an entire year, and she would not allow it. She would not leave the house.
And he'd feel bad. Yep,
and he'd stay. And so, you know, the 911 call, which we're going to play for you guys, mm-hmm. is pretty intense. I mean, and then the interrogation video, I mean, the singing Amazing Grace.
Oh my God. Just
the
look
doing
it up.
Cartwheels, the ballet. Laughing, the ballet. I mean, it's so over the top. It's like she's putting on a show.
Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing.
And then she has the nerve to actually ask the gal officer if she can bring her cell phone to jail. I mean, come on.
And do you get to shower or do you just get dirty?
She was the valedictorian. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't remember.
Yes, they said that she was. She had straight A's.
Oh, yeah.
She, you know.
Oh, yeah. Everybody said that she would be.
Narcissistic, again, behavior.
They said that she would be, like the school people said she would be. And, like, most likely to succeed.
Right.
She was quiet.
Right.
Really good in school.
They said she was beautiful. And she was a beautiful girl. But she literally became so obsessed with this man that she would not let him leave her. And when she finally came down to it and he had a date lined up, she went ballistic.
Yep.
So here's a 911 call, and then we'll talk about it when we come back.
What's your name?
Wow. So that was the 911 call. Pretty outstanding that and come to find out it actually took 15 minutes for her to call 911. Mm-hmm. So the shooting took place October 12th. The 911 call was in place until 8:53 p.m. She called her mother right after the shooting and spoke to her. No one knows what was said. There's no transcripts, of course. So you can only imagine.
Maybe her mom is the one who planted the seed in her head to say, I did it in self-defense.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think her mom and her talked about, this is what you're going to say, and this is how you're going to say it, and I bet you, because she's from a lower-income family.
Well, it's she survival. Says it herself. What did she call herself?
A hillbilly.
A hillbilly.
You know? She said Ryan was screaming at her. In the interrogation video, she says, he was screaming at me, I hate you, you effing hillbilly. That just sounds so absurd.
Yeah, I mean, from where he comes from, I don't know if I'd see him saying that. Right. But maybe when
Does
you're in a mad...
say that? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not upper class.
I'm not either. So I do not consider myself upper class. No.
Definitely not.
And the media was calling her the nose job killer because during the interrogation, well, I wouldn't even call it an interrogation because they didn't ask her any questions.
And we're going to put some of that in here too.
We are.
Some of the, she was in the interrogation room being all, you know, what is it? Let's see what she was diagnosed with.
Let's see. So during the trial, they had her, there was a psych eval done.
She had a personality disorder with narcissistic tendencies, depressed, bipolar, post-traumatic stress disorder. She claimed to have a prescription addiction and alcohol addiction. Oh, she claimed it about herself.
And she also said that Ryan had the same pill addiction. And she said, oh, you know, he's addicted to pills. And they did say that there was a lot of pill bottles found, empty pill bottles found.
Well, and he had Xanax and Adderall in his system. And if you don't have, what is it, ADHD? Is that Adderall for?
Right, exactly.
Then, you know, a lot of college students use that to stay up late to do exams.
And I'm sure upper class lawyers do also. I'm sure just a reality. I mean, let's be real with it. You know, there's a huge pill problem right now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Across the country, there's just, it's crazy.
So I believe it. I totally believe it.
It's easily believable.
So wait, this was in 2012, so October 12th, 2012, okay. And the media just called her the nose job killer because during this interrogation.
Which you'll hear,
at least part of it. She said, I gave him the nose job he always wanted. She goes, I broke it. Meaning the shot to his face. And then she goes on to say that because I still loved him after I shot him and he was twitching, I shot him again to put him out of his misery.
That's where she said something awful about her countryside coming out, too.
Yeah.
We'll hear her, but she says
about
that.
Hillbilly just came out of me. Oh, hillbillies shoot people? Okay. I didn't know that.
What I think what she meant with that was, like, if you see an animal suffering, you shoot them. Like if you go hunting.
Right.
And your horse or your packing mule gets hurt, like they break their leg, you can't bring them back from that, so you have no choice but to shoot them by putting them out of their misery.
Right.
That's what I was thinking she meant, but I don't know.
Probably very valid. I think that's a really good point. That's probably exactly what she meant.
Yeah.
So she did say that Ryan abused prescription drugs and was threatening her with comments while playing with his gun that evening.
Throwing her around the room.
Right.
No bruises. You're that small. That thin.
You're that small. 5'8", 120 pounds. And she goes on to say he was 200 pounds. Well, he didn't look 200 pounds in the pictures.
She said he was tall, though, right?
Yeah, I think
and
she
muscular,
did.
And muscular, did she say?
Yeah, she did.
I don't remember exactly. But yeah, he's tall. She said exactly how tall he was on that 911 call. I don't remember.
And they did say that he was shot sitting down.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he never got up out of his seat.
Nope. Never got up. So there was no way that and so there were cellmates of hers that actually came into the courtroom and probably for a lighter sentence.
Yeah.
Ratted on her. And they had them up on the stand, and they were saying that Shayna told them and was bragging about how she gave him the nose job that he always wanted, and that she had messed up the apartment to make it look like there was a fight that ensued. Mm. So, you know, this girl knew what she was doing. I think this was totally planned. You know, it says right there in that text message she sent 11 days prior to the prior to the murder, she texted a friend saying, "When I go to the shooting range with Ryan tonight, I want to turn around and shoot him and play like it was an accident." Well, you don't say that. That's not something that you joke about. No. Or
especially when you do end up shooting him.
What was that friend thinking? Not to think that, okay, this is getting a little out of hand.
Well, she regretted it. She said she wished she would have done something. Yeah, it was on the...
Was that on the 2020?
Was it on the 2020 or was it something else?
I highly recommend this. This was such a good 2020 episode. It's called Bad Blood if you're looking for it on YouTube. It was just fantastic. It has everything.
Yeah.
You know, money.
Yep.
Good looks. Pill addiction. It's
modern day Romeo murder. And Juliet.
It's got it all. Modern day Romeo and Juliet.
But you know, it's one of those like.
She was obsessed with him.
Pretty in Pink. Not Pretty in Pink.
Beauty and the Beast. No.
Pretty in Pink.
She's the Beast.
She's
the Beauty.
She's on the wrong side of the tracks, and then the other guy has the money, and it's like, oh, I can't be seen with her because she's not from our sides, you know.
Side of the track. Ugh. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we should probably clarify. We thought that she's had all six shots in the face, but it was three shots in the torso, one in the back, three in the face.
How's that six? Shoot him in the back?
That's seven.
Maybe it was two in the face. Three. Maybe this one in the torso is including the one in the back. That would make sense because your back is considered your torso.
Three shots in torso.
One was in the back.
Okay. Maybe that was what it meant. Oh, okay, yeah.
But one was in the back, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happened. Maybe when he fell.
It was when he fell.
On his face.
Yeah, it had to be.
Because he was sitting in the chair. She shot him.
He was still in the chair.
And he slumped
when
over.
When the cops got there, right?
And his head hit the table.
Yeah. His butt was still in the chair, kind of.
That's what I was gathering from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how else would they know he was still... They said he was sitting down. How else would they know that? Well, I guess if he
because
just
the
slumped
blood spatter.
Over. Oh, blood spatter. That's right.
Yeah. So then she was convicted?
So she was found guilty of first-degree murder. She got 40 years and was going to be up for parole after 20 years. However, there was a convicted felon on the jury, so her lawyer went to the judge and said that this is, you know...
After she was already convicted. No.
They come to find out there was a convicted felon on the jury, so her lawyer went to go get her conviction reversed and was granted a retrial, which won't start till March. So we'll be following this and we will give
you
an update.
March 2017.
But on our way out, we're going to play a little bit of the interrogation for you guys. So here it is.
He had put his arm across the table and... There's a lamp, and he had put his arm across the table and had it in my face and was screaming at me at the top of his lungs after he had thrown me around the room and was saying emotionally to me, "You're a f***ing hillbilly. I f***ing hate you. I hate everything about you for what you are. He was screaming it, and he had his head on the table, and he wasn't completely standing up. He was like this. He was sitting. He was announced it when he went like this. Literally. That's when I knew he was dead. Or close to it, and twitching. And I still, even though the hurt, loved him. And I couldn't stand to watch him twitch. I knew he was going to die or have a completely deformed face. He's very vain. One of our last conversations we had that was good was that he wants my best friend, who's a dentist, to do with the nares and wants to get a nose job. Just that kind of person. And I shot him right here. I gave him his nose job. He wanted. I broke it. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was crazy.
That was insane. That was her singing after the female officer left the room.
And then you hear the female officer come back into the room. She gave her a cup of water.
More water.
And then she's just a picture of this. She's in
the middle of singing. Well, help the gals bring her water. You know what that lady must have been thinking? I can't even imagine.
She's probably seen a lot.
She probably has. And while she's singing, you have to see her. She's pacing. Dancing
like ballet,
like she's some
twirler. I don't know.
I literally can't with her.
You have to watch it. Just to picture a small interrogation room, your camera's in the corner, and it's videoing down onto her as she's being crazy girl
with psycho talk.
Crazy talk.
Psycho talk.
So funny. And so this concludes the
part one
of this episode, and we will be right back with part two.
Alexander now claims they just can't get along. Bombshell tonight, the trial judge sends the jury back into the ring to deliberate. After 6 months of Jody Arias calling all the shots, has she finally pulled it off? Has she outsmarted the jury? The jury that doesn't know what we know, things like, well, last night, Arias, just minutes after telling the jury to spare her life so she can sell t-shirts, Arias demands hair and makeup to go on a TV satellite tour with multiple TV networks to trash. Who does she trash? Let's say her lawyers, the public, all of us, the jury. And of course, she trashed her murder victim, Travis Alexander. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, the Jody Arias iceberg. Take a listen to this.
So you really are never going to tell the truth about what went down in that bathroom?
I don't know what you mean by that, because I've told the truth.
Okay.
I didn't know that you were a hater when you came to interview.
What do you think of this jury? It's pretty clear they don't think too much of you. I wonder what you think of them.
I don't know. I feel I feel a little betrayed by them. I don't dislike them. I just was really hoping that they would see things for what they are, and I don't feel that they did.
To a lot of people, they think this switch from I want to die to now I want to live is just another lie from Jodi Arias.
Well, I don't know what that means. Was I lying when I said I want to die, or was I lying when I say please spare my life, you know? Whatever happens, I'm just going to take it and deal with it.
That's from ABC's GMA Good Morning America. And with us right now and taking your calls is that correspondent, the so-called hater, Ryan Owens. Ryan, thank you for being with us. Tell me your impression of Arias.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nancy. This woman was worried about just about everything except the fact that she is possibly facing the death penalty. She was worried about her hair. She was worried about her makeup. She was really worried. She did not want us to show those stripes that the sheriff here makes them wear in the jail. She's very concerned about her wardrobe, but cool, calm, and collected. And even though I pressed her a lot, she held up for the most part, other than calling me that nasty name, a hater.
You know, we're not allowed to say the word H-A-T-E at our house. So what did you do to provoke that, you big hater? What did you say?
Well, I just kept pressing her on the fact she started again with Travis abused me. It was self-defense. I had to do this. And I just said, Jodi, you know no one really believes that. And she said, no, some people do. Some people do. And I just kept pressing her, and I said, you know, none of it makes any sense. There's no evidence to back any of this up. And, Nancy, I just don't
Travis is the bad guy. Look at Travis. Don't look at me. Okay, everybody, with me is Ryan Owens from ABC, who Jodi Arias dubbed a hater. You know, let me ask you about something very important, Ryan. The makeup. You say she does not want to be photographed or videoed without makeup and hair, and she doesn't want to be seen wearing her prison, as we call them, blues, which is basically a prison outfit. Explain to me what you said. I'm very interested because, you know what? If I had been reliving Travis's murder, and looking at that autopsy photo and seeing his family in that courtroom in tears, clutching themselves, I don't think I'd be concerned about my hair and makeup. Call me crazy, but I want to hear exactly what happened.
Well, most of that transpired outside of the room that I was in. By the time the deputies brought her in, she was already all made up. But the first thing she said to me and to my camera crew was, don't show the stripes. You know you can't show the stripes. And I looked at my producer and said, did somebody make an agreement with Jodi Arias that I don't know about? And nobody knew anything about what she was talking about. So there on Good Morning America and several other places, you've seen her stripes. So maybe that's another reason I'm a hater.
Well, they heard a little something on the Jodi Arias case. She is our second murderess.
Scorned woman turned killer.
Who went ballistic and
on June
4th. Lost it on a ex-lover.
Yep. And that happened on June 4th, 2008. And that murder
victim
was that of Travis Alexander. He was 31 years old at the time.
So young.
And at the time, Jodi Arias was his ex-girlfriend. And she was born in 1980, so she was only 3 years younger than him, and she was currently living in Palm Desert, California, and Travis Alexander living in Mesa, Arizona. So there was a five-hour long-distance relationship, but at the time of Alexander's death, him and Jodi were actually no longer dating, but they were friends with benefits.
And they were hanging out a lot more than they should,
yes,
is what she said.
Right. So, yes, and Travis's body actually wasn't found until June 9th. So his friends started to get concerned. They couldn't get a hold of him. They asked his roommate to actually let them in. And they got into his bedroom, and that's when they found him in his bathroom.
So his roommate was home?
This whole time, they thought he was on his business trip to Cancun.
And you know what? When the friends walked in, they said they smelt,
oh my God,
like, just that stench in the air.
Of the iron and the blood, they said.
So how did the smell not go out into the roommate's part of the house?
That's a really good point. I guess if you're not expecting it and you're not thinking about it, I don't know. Maybe it's mind over matter. Maybe type it's thing.
You know, maybe it was a further part of the house that didn't connect. Who knows? Maybe. Could be. I mean, there's different possibilities.
Right.
I mean, the bathroom door could be closed, and then the bedroom door could be closed.
Right.
And then the roommate could be on the complete opposite side of the house. We don't know what
very,
it looks
that's
like.
That's very true. Yeah, and they said that when they found him, he had 27 to 29 stab wounds. His throat had been slit, and he also suffered a gunshot wound to the head.
And
I mean, this is like overkill to the max.
9 of the stab wounds were at his back.
Yep.
Stabbed in the back.
That's so...
It's I mean, that's literally stabbing someone in the back.
Yeah, literally.
That's where that comes from.
The course.
You know, you just
they
can't.
Trust you, they turn around, they're not expecting it, and they stab in the back. It's just so awful.
And she's not big. She's
5'4". No, she's a little girl.
And she's thin.
She's very
small. And to have
all
that power to stab through a back, that's ribs.
I know.
And then in the stomach and the legs and the defensive of his
they
hands
said that
his head.
Ugh,
he remember a couple of gouges on his head.
Oh,
not
poor guy.
God.
It's been and so what had happened was I guess he was a diehard Mormon, at least to the public.
To the outer world.
And into the inner world, him and Jody would have sex and crazy sex and phone sex and he would hide it and it would be like their little secret, you know, because Mormons aren't supposed to
have
to
sex
do that.
Before
they
marriage.
Are not supposed to do that. So
right? That's before marriage?
That's correct, before marriage. There's a lot of things they're not supposed to do.
Drink.
Yeah, what else?
Good thing I'm not Mormon.
And you're expected to go to church. And he was part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Wasn't that Tripp one of his, what do they call him?
He was a motivational speaker.
But the Mormons, they go on these little
retreats.
Trips, but they're called something else.
Missions,
thank you.
Yeah.
Was he going on a mission or a
no,
retreat?
No, this was actually for his work.
Oh, okay.
So he worked at PPL, which standard for Prepaid Legal Services. Mm-hmm. It's also where Jody worked, and that's how they met.
Different department.
Right. They met at a conference in Las Vegas, and after that, they got pretty close, as you can imagine. And there was a big physical attraction. His friends never liked her, they said.
No.
His family never liked her.
They said that... You know, something in her eyes they didn't trust. So, you know, they're like, I don't want her at my house. I don't want her around
my
kids.
Thing. Plus, a renowned psychiatrist, a friend of our show, says Jody not mentally ill. He and I are going to get into that. But first, something that comes up repeatedly on this show, Jody's eyes. What is up with Jody's eyes? Watch this. Some of your friends actually had concerns about just the look in her eye and that they didn't want their kids around her.
I had an opportunity to connect eyes with Jody. And if looks could kill, she was dead on the spot.
And there's Jody Arias with the most frightening, evil, I mean, I've never seen anything like it before or since.
She had that look in her eye like, yeah, what else are you going to say?
When you look in her eyes... it's empty. It's just like there's no soul behind there.
Look into her eyes. She is deviant.
I feel like everybody keeps saying the same thing.
Yes,
it was this look in her eye. Vapid, weird, empty eyes.
Right. She stares Tanisha down and the other family members and smiles at them.
So, Jenny, there you go. I mean, we've heard that over and over again. People... Go ahead.
She has crazy eyes. I mean, that's what the layman's term is, Dr. Drew. She has empty, soulless, crazy eyes.
Well, Jenny, I'll leave it at that for right now. We have got HLN legal correspondent Beth Kara standing by. She's covering all the latest development. Beth, where is Jody right now?
Well, she is back at Estrella Jail, Dr. Drew. She left the psych ward about 1 o'clock local time today, 4 p.m. Eastern time. In fact, her mother, Sandy Arias, had gone to the psych ward to visit her and was turned away, saying, Jody's moving back to Estrella. So I don't have confirmation that she went over there to visit her. She needed to be processed and brought back, and she was en route, apparently, when her mother went to visit her. So she's there, and it is something we thought might happen once she got evaluated and was found to be no longer a danger to herself if she ever was. So now we're just waiting for Wednesday, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock local. The aggravation phase should begin.
Very good. Thank you, Beth. Tonight on our panel, Lonnie Coombs, attorney and author of Your Perfect and Other Lies Parents Tell, Mark Eyeglarsh, attorney at speaktomark.com, becoming a meteorologist and cloud and fog specialist, and psychologist Robbie Ludwig, author of Till Death Do Us Part. All right, now, there's even more from that post-verdict interview we've all been arguing about that she gave immediately after the verdict to station KSAZ. I'll remind you all, Mark, she spent 4 days in a psychiatric hospital. It takes 72 hours on a hold. You can't even hold somebody past that for an evaluation. So it was beyond just evaluative. Now,
what's your point?
Well, just let's leave that out of the papers for a second. Let's listen to what she says about her upcoming defense against the death penalty.
I've been told that I don't have any mitigating factors.
By who?
My attorney.
Kirk Nurmi said to you there are no mitigating factors for you in terms of arguing against the death penalty.
Nothing that is what you typically see in a case like this, such as a childhood where there was drugs, alcoholism, molestation, things like that. None of those things occurred in my family. I guess we would sort of joke that my mom didn't beat me hard enough.
Mark, ha ha ha, she's a comedian. That's disgusting, no? No. Disgusting. Listen, everything about her just makes me sick. You know, playing the victim. It's all about the victim. I believe this post-interview was all about the realization that this borderline who had controlled so many things and so many people in her life finally could not control the outcome of the rest of her life. Death or life. Two horrible options existed. And the only thing I can relate it to, Drew, is when I go into a restaurant and they say your dessert is free and I get all excited. And then they say it's either Jell-O or rice pudding. That sucks.
I like rice pudding.
Well, Jenny, usually I get flan or Jell-O. But Lonnie, you want to ring in on this? Flan.
You know, I think the main thing that we should all get from this interview is if anybody has any doubt that Jodi does not premeditate every single thing in her life. Look, this interview didn't just happen. She planned this interview weeks in advance. She had it lined up with this reporter. She had it lined up with the jail. You can't just walk in and sit down and say, I want to have an interview. She had all of this set up, ready to go as soon as that verdict happens. She is always planning for everything right. That happens in her life.
And her mom didn't beat her enough. Interesting. Here's another clip before we go on. Another clip of that same interview. Take a look.
Does Kirk like you?
I think 90s out of 10. I mean, one day out of 10. Yeah, I think so.
Why don't you get along?
Well, we got along very well for a long time, and then we just have had clashes. Ultimately, he's the boss.
Are you happy with your defense?
I'm grateful for my defense.
That's not happy, though.
Not 100%.
Mark, she must have been a handful for Kurt Nurmi. Oh, I feel for him. I've had clients like this. Here's what I know about Kurt. Here's what I know for sure, okay? I haven't spoken to him, but I know, number one, he knows that she's guilty as heck and yet was forced to stay on this case having to deal with her. She was a difficult client, a Miss Know-It-All. Those are the worst kinds, completely not appreciative, and now nothing but I wasn't satisfied. I know the type, too bad. Robbie, I'm going to go out to you. Let's go dial it back to what I was saying at the beginning of the segment about her having spent 4 days in a psychiatric hospital. People don't just stay 4 days in a psych hospital unless there's something really going on or that facility needs to be shut down. I'm just saying. I want Robbie's opinion on this.
So, you know, so his friends kind of had a feeling about her. They didn't like her. They didn't trust her.
And then, so, you know, I think that he felt dirty being with her. I do think that because I think he was a virgin up until they met.
And he still told everybody he was a virgin.
He did. And even his ex-girlfriend, you know, thought he was a virgin. The gal that he dated before Jodi. You know, that they actually brought her into court and asked her questions, which would just be, awful. Oh, you know, just awful. And so, I don't know exactly what happened between the two of them, but there was bad blood because she was supposed to go with him on a business trip to Cancun, Mexico.
Well, and also, the guy said within a week, they were very sexual with each other and having sex in cars. I mean, what virgin does that?
Well, maybe he wasn't at all. Yeah. I just was getting the impression that, that he was.
Or me too.
But maybe he wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so he didn't have sex with the last maybe. Girl?
Maybe. Huh.
He was a virgin. I mean, guys will do anything for sex, whether it's in a car or not. I mean,
you know?
They'll, if you say yes.
That could escalate it quickly. Yeah.
If you say yes, they'll be anywhere. Anytime, anywhere.
So this was for Alexander Travis was scheduled to leave on June 10th, 2008 for a work-related trip to Cancun, Mexico. And in the earlier year of 2008, he told his company that Jody was going to join him. In April, right before the trip, he asked to change his travel companion to another female friend. Well, that's what flipped her out.
Yep. That topped it off.
The friends find his body. Of course, it becomes a crime scene. They find his recently purchased digital camera damage currently in the washing machine.
It's not the 1980s. It's not film. I mean,
we're not telling people how to get away with murder here.
But I mean, you wash a camera. You wash your camera.
And so, of course, they pull the digital chip out of it, and they're able to get all the images, at least most of the images that were deleted.
And there's some sexual lines.
Very much sexual poses of both of them naked and in the shower.
And then there was a couple of accidental pictures.
Yes, where he's profusely bleeding on the bathroom floor.
And you could see him, and you could see her. And you could see her in the picture, and that's the proof that she was there. Was the proof that
she's literally trying to drag him back into the shower, is what it looked like.
God,
because there is a huge blood stain coming from the shower to the sink. There's this huge
There's a lot
on the carpet.
Lot
they
of
show
blood.
This blood stain.
One of the gals said that she drugged him from the bedroom area because you saw that that chair that had blood on it.
Right.
Back into the bathroom.
Right.
How strong can you be?
I guess if adrenaline's going,
you
can really just pick up anything or drag anything. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It must have been that.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
And so we have to mention also that this was kind of like the Shayna Huber's case, as in, okay, he breaks up with her.
Yep.
She can't stand it. She becomes obsessed with him.
Were obsessed from the beginning, both of them.
But she
infatuated.
Never, he was talking to another girl. She found the text messages on his phone.
This is this is the current case.
Yeah, this is the current case. And they broke up because she couldn't trust him anymore. But she obviously was so in love and obsessed with him that she was still sticking around for whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she couldn't have him in her life, that was the only way that she could have him, then she was down for it, I think.
Without having to worry about the trust, because we're not together, so whatever you do is whatever you do.
Right, and I think it still
ticked
off.
It bothered her, absolutely. Oh yeah, for sure.
It really bothered her, but during her interrogation, she's doing headstands, she's pacing around, she's doing bizarre shit, just like Shayna Huber's does.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So is this the acts of a guilty woman? Maybe being nervous and
losing your mind?
I mean, the cases are so similar.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre how similar
and
they are.
And it's overkill, okay? So one was shot in the first case.
Six times.
Shot. And that wasn't enough. So she shoots him five more times.
Yep.
Then this one here shoots him and stabs him and slits his throat.
29 times.
And it's like...
29 stab wounds.
And they both are claiming self-defense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Self-defense is... You guys are arguing with each other. He pushed you. You pushed him to get him off you, and he fell down the fucking stairs.
Yeah.
Or, he's coming at you. He's going to hurt you. You shoot him.
Or
one time.
Or he hurts you.
Yeah.
And then you can get away, and you're able to grab his weapon. That's self-defense.
Yeah.
Self-defense isn't, we were arguing, raising our voices, and I reached for the gun and shot him, or I reached for a knife and stabbed him, because he wasn't giving me what I wanted.
No.
That's not self-defense, I'm sorry. And let's also mention that Jody had three versions of what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Version one, I wasn't there. I don't know nothing about it. I have no clue what happened.
And that interview that we watched, she's like...
She's denying it.
He was such a nice guy. One of his friends called, said what happened, couldn't give me details.
I knew nothing about it. I had no idea. And
he was such a great guy.
Yeah, and blah, you know blah, what's so common in these... And when the people are guilty, they don't ask how. They don't ask how it happened. Because they know. Because they did it.
And they don't think about it because...
Right. But I see that so often where, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so common. You don't... You seem guilty when you don't ask why it... How it happened. Yeah. Excuse me. How it happened.
Oh, so-and-so was just killed.
Oh, my God. It's so awful.
What? No, you go, oh, my God, what happened?
Right. Or how.
What happened?
Why?
Yeah.
What the hell?
You want to know. Did someone shoot them?
How did they die?
Yeah.
That's what you want to know if you didn't do it. That's how I see it, you know? So her second version was, oh, I was there. Okay, I was there. But two guys broke in, got him on his knees and shot him. And I just blacked out. And when I came to, I was there still. And he was dead. And I just left. And the guy told me that if I tell anyone about it, that all they'll come back and kill me. Okay, version two is such bullshit. Version three.
I would call anyway.
Is a self-defense, and that's what they finally brought to trial was that it was her being attacked, and it was in self-defense, okay. Which I don't believe. I mean,
okay, the gunshot wound. You may. Okay, fine. He's attacking you, and you shot him that one time, and
right.
He died.
Right.
I wasn't trying to kill him. Right. I was just trying to shoot him to get him away from me.
Right.
But no.
29 stab wounds. Not happening. No.
Slitting the throat so bad. Oh my God. That was almost decapitating him. That's not self-defense.
I know.
So, well, you know, to our listeners, if you would like to email us your thoughts on these two cases.
We'd love to hear it. We would
definitely love to hear your guys' thoughts and what you, you know, what you think might be going on there. After this episode, we will be reading your emails randomly. So when you email us, you may get on the air.
But let us know if you do not want your email read. Because
yes,
we're going to read our emails just randomly and unless you tell us not to.
And we do respect the fact that you would like to tell us, you know, your thoughts, but maybe you don't want us to read them out loud.
And that's totally fine.
That's fine. And even if you want us to read an email but not say your name...
We could do that as well. But it'd be fun to interact with you guys.
Yeah.
And
we really love it.
We freaking love it. And we've received a couple of emails, yes. And we just love hearing from you guys. And it makes us feel like we're doing something that you guys are enjoying.
Christy from PA.
Shout out to you, girl.
Number one email.
Whoop, whoop.
And then Nikki. Hopefully we're saying it right.
Yep, I think it is Nikki. It's spelled really cool. But hey, Nikki, we got your email about the Sauter case, and we loved your opinion on that.
If you would like us to read that email,
yeah, let us know.
Just email us back, and we'll read it. That's not a problem. But before this, we hadn't said that we were going to read emails on the air, so we just wanted to be respectful of everyone and be clear.
And we're respectful of your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like your opinion, Nikki. So go ahead and. If you want to respond, you don't have to. But we got your shout out, number two. And then we also have a shout out to Chris.
From California. Shout out to Chris, too.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for emailing us.
Do you know where Nikki lives?
No, Nikki didn't say where she lives.
Which is fine. You don't have to tell us where you're from. If you want to tell us your state, we can say, you know, where your state is. We would never say your town. Or your last name, unless you told us to.
We now have a Patreon account, guys. So
yes.
If you feel the need to donate, please visit our Patreon at Two Girls True Crime. You can find us there. And, of course, our Instagram is Two Girls True Crime.
The Patreon's Two Girls True Crime as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you just say that?
Yes. That's totally cool. I love it. This is like...
Whatever.
This is raw.
This is us, okay?
This is us.
So with the Patreon, if we get enough listeners who love us and want to donate on a monthly basis, it might help us to be able to get more material quicker.
Yes. Because
we do both have full-time jobs.
Yes, we do.
So we try to get together every week, twice a week. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Life does happen in between. That's why we had our little hiatus. But we hope to bring you episodes at least every other week. And if we can do more, we will. If we can do short episodes,
we'll do that.
We'll do some more short episodes in between if we can. But right now, we're just going to try for every other week for full episodes. Do research on 1 week until you guys start loving us a little more.
Yeah. So check us out. And lastly, our email is twogirlstruecrime@gmail.com. So please email us and we will go ahead and read your emails on air and we can kind of correspond that way. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm Katie.
This is Courtney.
We always seem to forget.
And we also have to celebrate.
Oh, I'm my God. Sorry
that we have to celebrate. But we have had 7,600 downloads. Wow,
you guys. Is that many or is it more than that?
Well, let's check it. If you want to check it live right now, we can do that. Because last time I checked, it was, and I was just so impressed with that number. And I just thought, wow, you guys are really out there listening
to us. That's really great. We really love it. We really appreciate it. It's so awesome. We really love doing this. We really love having you guys as our listeners.
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
We have hit 8,490.
Woo! Dance party in the shed.
I'm so impressed. That was my dad. No. Hit over 9,000
tonight.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Get us to 9,000, huh?
Yeah. Shout out to that. Miss Holly.
Miss Haven.
Signing off.